The Worm Ouroboros by E. R. Edison. Introductory material. Dedication. To W. G. E. and to my friends K. H. and G. C. L. M., I dedicate this book. It is neither allegory nor fable, but a story to be read for its own sake. E. R. E., 9th January 1922. Through Thomas lay on Huntley Bank, a fairly he spied wi' his ee, and there he saw a lady bright, come riding down by the Eildon tree. Her skirt was of the grass-green silk, her mantle of the velvet fine, at ilka tet of her horse's mane hung 50 siller bells and nine. True Thomas he pulled off his cap, and louted low down on his knee, "Hail to thee, Mary, Queen of Heaven, for thy peer on earth could never be." Oh no, Thomas," she says, "that name does not belong to me. I'm but the Queen of fair Elfland, that am hither come to visit thee." "Harp and carp, Thomas," she says, "harp and carp alang wi' me, and if ye dare to kiss my lips, sure of your body I will be." "Betide me weal, betide me woe, that weird shall never daunten me, sin he has kissed her rosy lips, all underneath the Eildon tree." Thomas the Rhymer. Prologue. The Induction. There was a man named Lessingham, dwelt in an old low house in Wastdale, set in a grey old garden, where yew trees flourished that had seen Vikings in Copeland in their seedling time. Lily and rose and larkspur bloomed in the borders, and begonias with blossoms big as saucers, red and white and pink and lemon colour, in the beds before the porch. Climbing roses, honeysuckle, clematis, and the scarlet flame flower scrambled up the walls. Thick woods were on every side without the garden, with a gap northeastward opening on the desolate lake and the great fells beyond it, Gable rearing his crag-bound head against the sky, from behind the straight, clean outline of the screes. Cool, long shadows stole across the tennis lawn. The air was golden. Doves murmured in the trees. Two chaffinches played on the near post of the net. A little water wagtail scurried along the path. A French window stood open to the garden, showing darkly a dining-room panelled with old oak, its Jacobean table bright with flowers and silver, and cut glass and Wedgwood dishes heaped with fruit, greengages, peaches, and green muscat grapes. Lessingham lay back in a hammock chair watching through the blue smoke of an after-dinner cigar the warm light on the Gloire de Dijon roses that clustered about the bedroom window overhead. He had her hand in his. This was their house. "Should we finish that chapter of Najal?" she said. She took the heavy volume with its faded green cover and read. "He went out on the night of the Lord's Day, when 9 weeks were still to winter. He heard a great crash, so that he thought both heaven and earth shook. Then he looked into the west airt, and he thought he saw hereabouts a ring of fiery hue, and within the ring a man on a grey horse. He passed quickly by him and rode hard. He had a flaming firebrand in his hand, and he rode so close to him that he could see him plainly. He was black as pitch, and he sung this song with a mighty voice: Here I ride swift steed, his flank flecked with rime, rain from his mane drips, horse mighty for harm. Flames flare at each end, gold glows in the midst. So fares it with Floss's reeds, as this flaming brand flies, and so fares it with Floss's reeds, as this flaming brand flies. Then he thought he hurled the firebrand east towards the fells before him, and such a blaze of fire leapt up to meet it that he could not see the fells for the blaze. It seemed as though that man rode east among the flames and vanished there. After that he went to his bed, and was senseless for a long time. But at last he came to himself. He bore in mind all that had happened, and told his father. But he bade him tell it to Hjalti, Skeggi's son. So he went and told Hjalti."